Will.
And turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. This will be the final message in this particular series that we have been looking at, the watching Jesus come. As the Lord laid these messages on my heart, as I told you from the very beginning, these are totally different from what I normally preach from and how I normally preach. Even today, we're going to give you a good number of facts and things that are taking place. But I want us to look at verse 3 in Matthew chapter 24 as we look down through this particular passage. The Bible says, "And he said upon the Mount of Olives," this is the Lord Jesus, "and the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many, the deceivers. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." We see the destruction. "For the nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. These are the disasters. These are the beginning of sorrows. They shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and they shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations in my name. Then many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall be hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise and destroy and deceive many. Because of iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, the demise and the sinfulness of people." But look at verse 13 and verse 14. "But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. For this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end come." Let's bow our heads to a word of prayer. Father, we come before you and we thank you for the day that you've given to us. Father, I pray that you'll open up our eyes spiritually and our hearts. And Lord, I pray that today we might just even anticipate the coming of the Lord. And Lord Jesus, I pray that even today you might come and just meet with us in a very great way. But Lord, we're ready for your coming. And I pray that you'll return for us in the air. And I pray that you would guide us, direct us, and lead us. And Lord, we want your will to be done. In your wonderful name we pray. Amen. Now, let me remind you once again as we begin. These verses are not talking about the rapture of the church. The rapture of the church will be the very next event scripturally that will be taking place. The Lord will come and meet the Christians in the air. He'll simply say, it is time to come. We will leave this world and we will depart and we will go up. The Bible says just very suddenly, without any warning, without any notice, we will be gone. But this coming that he's talking about is the second coming bodily, physically, back to this earth. The Bible tells us over and over that Jesus said he will come again. He came the first time and came born as a babe. Now he will come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He will rule upon this earth. As the Lord was talking with his disciples, as they were privately talking, this is one of the few times that we see it is just the Lord and his disciples. We need to understand he is speaking to the Christian. In this particular passage, he's speaking to actually two different groups of people. He's speaking to the Hebrews, the Jewish people, but he's also speaking to us today. As Jesus began to expound upon these things, so the disciples asked him a very unusual question. They said, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world?" You know, it is interesting to note that from the very beginning of time, people have wondered how long we're going to be here upon this earth. People from all the way back to Adam's day, and they wondered how long that they were going to be upon the face of the earth. You know, I was thinking about this as I was preparing for this particular message. You think about Methuselah, 900, almost 1,000 years old. I wonder how many days Methuselah got up and said, "Lord, how many more? Lord, how much longer do I have to live upon this earth?" Folks, I don't care how you say things were different back in Bible days. When you're 900 years old, folks, you're going to feel it. Okay? And Miss Flora, they don't have nothing on, you don't have nothing on 900 years old. So don't worry about your age. Okay? 900 is a long time. That's a long time to be upon this earth. Can you imagine? I was just thinking about this. We're not told how long he was married or his wife. We know he was married because he had children. But can you imagine being with his wife, or actually his wife being with him for however many years it was? Women, you think you have it bad, you should live back in Bible days, I want to tell you. Okay? Now, here's what God says. I want to give you some signs about my coming. I want to give you some signs about what is going to take place. And all of these things will happen as it gets closer and closer to the coming of the Lord. We've gone through each of these. But I want to zero in today on verse 14. It says, "And the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world for a witness unto all nations, then the end come." Go with me to Mark chapter 13. Here we see a parallel passage, and we see a little different verse, but I want you to look at verse 10. Mark chapter 13 and verse 10. Now, we do not find this statement in the book of Luke in this particular passage, but look in Mark chapter 13. "And the gospel must first be published among all nations." Now, the first thing I want you to see is the mandate. God gave us a mandate, and it's found in Matthew chapter 24. And I want you to see the mandate. It says, "And this gospel of the kingdom." Now, let me just stop. The gospel is simply the death, burial, and resurrection story of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the gospel. You say, how do you know that? The Bible tells us this in 1 Corinthians. The Bible tells us that the gospel is the death, the burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, folks, I want to tell you, salvation is impossible without the Lord Jesus Christ. We must go through Jesus in order to be saved. It doesn't matter what anybody else is teaching. Doesn't matter what anybody else is saying. Doesn't matter what other churches are talking about. There's only one way, and that is through Jesus Christ. But I want you to see this mandate. He says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached unto all the world for a witness unto all nations." Now, actually, we see over in the book of Acts. I tell you what, just turn over to Acts. Romans chapter 1. Let me show you a verse. Many of you can probably quote this particular verse, but I want you to see it, and I want you to think about the mandate that God has given to us. Look at verse 16. Romans chapter 1, and I want you to look at verse 16. The Bible says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." The word Greek actually means Gentile. God gave us a mandate. He said, "I want you to take it to two groups of people. I want you to take it to the Jews first." And let me just clarify. A Jew is anyone who is descendants of one of the 12 tribes of Israel. Okay? Some of you may have some mixed Jewish blood in you, if you go way back in your genealogy. But there's none of us here that are full-blooded Jews. I don't think anybody's here a Jew. But here's what God is saying. Take it to the Jews first. Then I want you to take it to the rest of the world. Now, we also know in Matthew chapter 28, Mark chapter 16, the Bible says, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature." The Bible tells us we're to preach the Word of God everywhere and tell every single person about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to think about this for just a second. When Jesus was sitting there on the mountain as He was talking with His disciples, as He gave this particular mandate, as He went down through and told about all the different signs of His coming, He came down to this very last one. And this is what He said. "The gospel, the kingdom, shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, then shall the end come." Now, at the time of Christ, after His death, burial, and resurrection, after His ascension, after the day of Pentecost came and God fell in a great way upon that early church, things began to happen. They began to send out missionaries. They began to go around and they began to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was known as one of the greatest missionary personnel, one of the first missionaries. set out by the local churches that went around starting hundreds and different churches and places, and God began to work and God began to move. But the gospel was not reaching every single person. There were people all around the world that had not heard the gospel. Later on, Gutenberg invented the printing press and began to print some Bibles in a very crude way compared to the technology we have today. Even with that, the Word of God did not go around the world. Over the years, we've had many hundreds of missionaries. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. But even that has not yet covered the world. But I want you to think about something. As God told His disciples, He said one of the signs, or the last sign, is the delivering of the Word of God. By the way, I forgot to tell you, the title of this message is The Delivering. The Delivering. Jesus told His disciples, the end will come when every single person has heard the Word of God. Now, we read this and we say, well, Pastor, that's great. That's encouraging. But what has that got to do with me? Well, I'm glad you asked. I want to share some things with you. The first thought I want you to see is the mandate. The second thing I want you to see is the method. The method. Now, I want you to notice in verse 14, God gives us one of the methods listed here. It says, and the gospel of the kingdom shall be what? Preached. Okay? Now, I want you to think about something. Kenny, turn over to Mark chapter 13 and read verse 10. What does it say?
The gospel must first be published in all nations.
Okay, there's a different word there, isn't it? Let me share with you the two methods the Lord Jesus Christ told His disciples the Word of God would go into all the world. First of all, preaching. Preaching is to loudly proclaim the truth of God. Loudly proclaim the truth of God. Now, I want you to get this. It is God's mandate that we send forth preachers who preach the Word of God. They are to stand, not on their own and not say their own thoughts, but they are to stand and they are to say, this is what the Word of God is saying. This is what God is telling us that we are to do. We need preachers. We need people to go around and preach the Word of God. We need men. And ladies, let me tell you something very honestly. The Bible says that men are to be the pastors and the preachers in the church. That is God's design. Does not mean the ladies are inferior in second place. Does not mean that you don't have a place in the church. What it means is God's way is for a man to stand behind the pulpit and preach. Folks, there's a lot of churches today that a lady stands up here and gives the Word of God. Folks, that is not biblical preaching. That is not scriptural. That is not what the Word of God says. You say, well, it's okay. Everybody does it differently. No, God designed what was going on. You say, how do you know? God called, when Jesus was on the earth, called 12 disciples. They were men. They were sent out. They were chosen by God to carry forth the Word of God. The idea of preaching is to loudly proclaim God's truth. Now, I want you to think about this for just a moment. The method of preaching over the years has changed dramatically. You go back and you study early church history, and you look and see what took place, the early disciples, as they went around, as they began to preach and teach, and God began to do a great work. You remember some of the early deacons that God called. God used them in a great way. Stephen, when he preached his very first sermon, found the book of Acts, they were so appalled and so horrified at his message, they took him out of the city and stoned him. His message touched their heart. You see, that's the reaction to people. When God's Word touches their heart, they react in such a way, and sometimes it's in a very bad way. But then you go through Philip, became an evangelist as he began to travel around and God used Philip. We see the first record of baptism with the Ethiopian eunuch, and this was with Philip because he preached unto him Jesus. All through the Word of God, you will find that men stood and they preached the Word of God. Then you move along in church history and you see things began to take place. You see the persecuted church and the church beginning to run and hide and trying to get away from the terror of the Roman government. Nero, as he took Christians and literally hung them in his garden for a garden party on poles, poured pitch over them and set them ablaze while they were still alive. But the early church survived. Things began to happen. Then you move on and you see great men and as they stood, as they began to preach the Word of God. I think of men like George Whitefield. I think of men throughout time that God used in great ways. Then you come to another era of time. A man by the name of D.L. Moody. A man by the name of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. These are men who literally rocked and shook their communities. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, just a young man, as he would stand in the Metropolitan Tabernacle and preach without an aid of a microphone, and literally 12,000 plus people heard his voice. It was said that when Charles Haddon Spurgeon, as God began to bless his ministry, tickets had to be given out for people to come to church. Can you imagine getting a ticket just to be able to come to church? People would give their ticket to an unsaved person so there would be unsaved people in the congregation. Many of the members would go underneath the platform that they had specially designed in a prayer room right underneath where Charles Haddon Spurgeon would be preaching, and there would be people underneath praying for him. God used him in a great way. D.L. Moody, as he began to preach, and literally two continents were changed and moved because of the preaching of D.L. Moody. A fourth grade education. But D.L. Moody founded two Bible colleges, and God used D.L. Moody, preached literally to hundreds and thousands. But yet the world had not been reached yet. You come into modern day time. My mentor, Dr. Lee Robertson, known as one of the greatest preachers of all time, literally moved continents for what he did. There are people literally around the world because of the ministry of Lee Robertson. Some of you remember years ago we had Dr. Robertson here, was able to speak. But you know, you look at these men, the job is still not done. Let me share something else with you. Through the means of the technology that we have today, the preaching of the Word of God is given out like we've never seen before. We have television ministries where people preach the Word of God. You have cable TV, satellite TV, that literally spreads the gospel all over the world. We have the internet. You can get on the internet at any given time and hear literally hundreds and thousands of people preaching the Word of God. We have DVDs. We have DVDs that we produce and give out, and people hear the preaching of the Word of God. People have iPods that they can download messages from. This is why we're doing our website, so we'll be able to download so people can take the Word of God with them. We have the technology today literally to reach the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's exciting. It's thrilling. It is neat to be able to see what is taking place. That's the first mandate. The second mandate is that of publishing. Two different words. Preaching is to proclaim loudly the truth of God's Word. The idea of publishing means to broadcast before one's eyes. I want you to listen. Preaching is to proclaim loudly the truth of God. Publish is to broadcast before one's eyes. Now, I want you to think about that. If you're broadcasting before one's eyes, what does that mean you're doing? It's something every one of you should be doing with your Word of God today. Reading. I want you to see this. There was a difference in preaching and publishing. Jesus told His disciples, there's two things I want you to see. I want you to preach. I want you to give the Word of God out. I want you to tell people the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. But also, what I want you to do, I want you to publish it so they'll see it. Now, you go back to biblical times, the days of Christ, they only had one way of mass producing the Word of God. They would hand copy each page of the Word of God. We call them scribes. You'll see them in the Old Testament. You'll see them also in the New Testament. They would very carefully, painstakingly, page by page by page, copy the Word of God. Now think about this. Some of you have seen your handwriting, and it would take a long time for people to be able to read what you wrote. Say, how do you know? You should see some of the notes that I've gotten from people. You try to decipher what they say. I know I'm one to speak. My handwriting is horrible. That's why I usually print most of the things that I do or type it out. But here's the thing I want you to see. In the early church, they tried to distribute the Word of God as best they could. They couldn't do it. I mentioned about Gutenberg's press, the first press to actually print the Word of God. But let me give you some statistics about some printing ministries over the years. And I think you'll be surprised at some of this. The oldest printing company in the United States is American Bible Society. It began in 1816. Had the goal of distributing the Word of God. American Bible Society is still around, still publishing, still giving out the Word of God. Here's one that I'm sure you all know about, but you'd be surprised at when it started. Let me ask you this question. How many of you have ever been in a motel and found a Bible in that motel room? Raise your hand. You know who put that Bible there, more than likely? A Gideon. The Gideons were started in the late 1800s as an organization to give out the Word of God. But they did not do this until 1908. The first place they began to take the Word of God was three places. They took them to motels, they took them to hospitals, and they took them to jails. Later on, they began to pass them out in New Testaments to the public schools, which now they're no longer allowed to do that. The Gideons from the early 1900s had a ministry of giving out the Word of God. The Gideons, even today, are very active. You may know some Gideons that are very active in their ministry. They want people to have a copy of the Word of God. They provide a Bible for soldiers. They provide for people in special occasions or special things. They give out the Word of God. Over the years, there's been many Bible publishing companies in different places that are there. But let me share with you about just a few. There's a ministry called Bearing Precious Seeds. It is out of First Baptist Church in Milford, Ohio. Dr. Charles Keene was the pastor at that time. He's no longer there. He has since retired and moved on. But Dr. Keene, through a friend of his, got a burden about printing Bibles from Mexico. There was a friend that came to him and said, Dr. Keene, you need to take it upon yourself about helping missionaries to get a copy of the Word of God. Dr. Keene prayed about it and went before his church. 1973, he started Bearing Precious Seeds. Bearing Precious Seeds is, to date, the largest publisher of the Word of God of any group, any denomination, anything around the world. So far this year, just this year, and this date is actually as of April, we've not got the update since May, just since April this year, 2,716,499 copies of the complete Word of God have been printed through Bearing Precious Seeds just this year. From the foundation of Bearing Precious Seeds to date, over 72 million copies of the Word of God has gone out. Remarkable. How many of you remember back in the fall, we took up money for Bibles for the World Cup that's going to be taking place down in South Africa. How many remember that? We took up a good number of money and we sent it in, and these were copies of John and Romans that were distributed. We were pleased to be able to hear, starting next month is when the World Cup starts down in South Africa, 100,000 copies just of Gospel of Romans and the Gospel of John are going to be given out, and we had a part in that. It was through Bearing Precious Seeds. Now, I want you to think about this for just a moment. Here's one printing company, 72 million copies of the Word of God. And by the way, they do not charge anything for the Word of God. They simply give them out free. Not one penny was ever, not one person ever had to purchase a Bible from Bearing Precious Seeds. They were all given free to missionaries who needed them. Let me give you some other facts about other things that are taking place. There is a track fellowship league called Fellowship Track League. They are the number one producing tracks in America. They give tracks free, whoever wants them. Our church over the years have received tracks from Fellowship Track League. They give them to missionaries and literally take them around. By the way, I forgot to mention this, Bearing Precious Seeds, they are now presently having Bibles in 43 countries around the world. Awesome thing. Fellowship Track League is one of the major distributors of tracks literally around the world. But let me give you another statistic. And the only reason I'm mentioning this one is because it's making headlines. I'm going to be very careful about what I say. It is known as the Watchtower publication. Now, I'm not going to mention which group has that. If you'd like to know more about that, you can talk to me about that later. The Watchtower publication, and this is a shame to all of us. The Watchtower publication, as of January 1st, had on their mailing list or had on their things that they give out, these are bi-monthly booklets, 39 million copies every single month. They are right now the largest circulating magazine that is given out twice a month around the world. 39 million copies of the Watchtower go out twice a month, every single month. The reason I mention that, the devil is at work. The devil is giving out the Word of God, supposedly. I say supposedly. You read the Watchtower, and folks, it is sin from the very beginning pages to the end of it, and it is not talking about the things of God, even though it mentions God's name all through that publication. Again, if you don't know who I'm talking about and wondering which group I'm referring to, you can see me later, and I will fill you in on the details. Those are just a few of the many publishing companies around the world. We could go on and on and on with different Bible publishers and different ones that are there. The ones that I'm talking about, Bearing Precious Seeds, are giving the Word of God out all over the world. Their job is to give the Word of God out to missionaries so that they could take the Word of God and distribute to people around the world. Now, the Lord said two methods, by the preaching, by the publishing. But I want you to think about something. Even with all of these methods, there are still people that are unreached. This comes to my third point. I want you to think about the missionaries. Now, in this particular passage, the Word of God does not talk, per se, about missionaries. We see in Acts 1:8, the Bible says that we are going to all the world and preach the gospel, and we are to go to Jerusalem and around the world. But I want you to think about this. God needs missionaries to take the Word of God around the world. We have missionaries that we support all over the world. missionaries in different parts of the world, in Europe and in Asia, down in Africa, over in South America, and in our own country, in different places. We have missionaries all around the world. But you talk to anybody who knows anything about missions, and they will mention a term that maybe some of you have heard. And even some of our missionaries in our past missions conference have mentioned this particular term. It is called the 1040 window. The 1040 window is, if you would take a map, you would look at 10 degrees longitude and 40 degrees latitude, just north of the equator. There is a band, a stretch of continent, and it's mostly Asian countries. They have estimated that literally 90% of people are unreached in those areas. I want you to listen carefully. In that 1040 window, there is at least 90%, as estimated by any mission board, many mission agency, 90% of the people are unreached. Do not have a copy of the Word of God, had not had someone come to them. Mission agencies are flooding that particular area. You talk to Baptist Mid, you talk to Baptist International Missions, you talk to any mission board that is doing something for the cause of Christ, they will have a plan for the 1040 window. They will talk about the, some call it the Joshua plan, some call it the Millennium plan, some call it the reaching every person plan. But they have pulled together and they are trying to reach that section of the world like they've never seen before. Go back to Matthew and I want to show you something interesting in verse 24. Look at this verse in verse 14 again. The Bible says, "In this gospel the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all the nations. Then shall the end come." We are very quickly spreading the gospel. The means that we have today, as I said, through the internet, through television, through satellite, through all the different means, through the printed copies of the Word of God. We are getting the Word of God out. But I want you to look at one last thing. Go with me to Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7. And folks, here's where the exciting thing comes into play. For time's sake, look down to verse 2, Revelation chapter 7. "And I saw another angel ascend from the east, and having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. Hurt not the earth, nor the sea, nor the trees, until we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed 144,000, and all the tribes of the children of Israel." Now, there's a certain cult that talks about only 144,000 people are going to heaven. This is where they get this from. Folks, what this is talking about, and this is where the exciting part comes into play. This is not talking about right now. It is talking about during the tribulation period. Now, folks, I don't know about you. I plan not to be here during the tribulation. I'm going up. I'm not going to see this take place. But here's what God said. We don't know all the details. God does not tell us all the facts. We don't know how these 144,000 are saved. But God will take 144,000 Jewish evangelists from all the 12 tribes of Israel. And folks, the next time one of these cults come to your house and try to knock on your door and talk to you about going to heaven, and they claim that they're part of the 144,000, ask them which Jewish tribe they're from. Boy, that'll set them back. They won't know what to do. They're so scared to come by my house. My house is marked with a red X. Do not come, do not go, do not visit. They don't come by my house anymore. You say, why? Because I give them the gospel when they come, and I give them fits every time they come to the door. But here's what God said. I'm going to take 144,000 witnesses. They will carry the Word of God all the world to the people who have not heard. Now listen to me. That's during the tribulation period. That's during the tribulation period. The Lord will send these 144,000. They will literally comb the earth and they will talk to every single person who is not heard during this time. And they will be saved. And the Bible says literally hundreds and thousands, so great you cannot even count the number of them, will be saved during the tribulation. People who've never heard. But folks, get this. With our means and capability that we have today of preaching the Word of God and publishing the Word of God, we are on the verge right now of literally touching the entire world. We're not there yet. We've got a ways to go. There's still people that need to be reached. Don't get me wrong. There's still people out there who need to hear the truth. But today, in our society, there is very few nations that do not have some kind of copy of the Word of God. There are missionaries that are needed literally around the world. There are people who need to hear. But folks, at this time in history, and listen to me carefully, at this time in history, we are standing on the brink of preaching or broadcasting to every single person. There are shortwave radios that are being used. There are radio ministries. There are TV ministries. There are ministries literally all around the world either preaching or giving out the Word of God. The Word of God is going forth. That's not mean that we're to give up and say, well, it's all done, we need to go out. Folks, there's still people here in America that have never heard. There's still people that we associate with that have never heard. But folks, we have never been this close. And it will all be wrapped up in the tribulation period. 144,000 will go out and they will fan out literally all through the world, and God will guide them and God will direct them and they will go to every single person. Let's close with Matthew chapter 24 one more time. I want you to see this. And the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations. Read with me the last phrase. Then shall the end come.